Welcome to today's deep dive. We're tackling a really fascinating exploration today of a surprisingly complex abstract painting.
Oh, yeah.
It is titled Betania by the artist Jaro Duque. And we extracted this analysis from his book, Trazio Pintura Artistica.
Right. And for this deep dive, we are really grounding our conversation in two very specific sources. We've got the visual image of the artwork itself, and then the artist's own really densely detailed analytical notes.
Exactly. And our mission today for you listening is to understand how this one artist used, well, basically hardcore physics and cognitive science to take a totally chaotic process and just freeze it into this state of absolute meditative stillness.
Which is wild when you think about the medium.
Right. Because to picture what we were dealing with, imagine you just you dump a bucket of water onto a perfectly flat table.
Yeah, your brain just braces for disaster.
Well, you expect it to splash everywhere, ruin the floor, just absolute chaos.
Instant mess.
Yeah. But take that same liquid, load it up with, you know, fluorescent acrylic paints, electric blues, neon pinks, maybe drop in some silicone oil. Suddenly, that messy disaster is that hyperkinetic viral visual cliche you see all over the internet.
Right, the classic fluid paint pour. It's famous for being immediate.
Yeah.
It gives you this really fast, almost aggressive visual satisfaction because it is loud and bright and you are literally watching raw matter collide at high velocity.
But then you encounter an artist who looks at that explosive viral process and just says, you know, no, I want to engineer the exact opposite.
Yeah, he completely flips the script.
He really does. And for you listening, especially if you are someone who values deep understanding and actively tries to avoid that shallow information overload feeling, this deep dive is a masterclass.
Absolutely.
It shows how looking past our kind of fast food visual culture reveals hidden, brilliant mechanics. So, okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it.
Before we can even begin to understand what Betania looks like on the surface, we have to talk about the physical environment. We are moving away from the messy art studio vibe and stepping into like a highly controlled scientific laboratory.
Yeah, looking at the specs of the piece, the physical footprint is surprisingly intimate. We are analyzing a format of roughly 10 by 8 inches.
So about 5 by 20 centimeters, right?
Exactly. Created in August of 2020 using Liquitex brand acrylics. But the detail that really demands our attention, the foundation of this laboratory setup, is the location, Whittier, California.
Right. And we need to be incredibly clear here because it is so easy to misinterpret that detail. Whittier is not the subject of the painting.
No, not at all.
He wasn't looking out his window at a sunset trying to paint the city landscape. Whittier is simply the literal geographic location of his studio workshop. It is the incubator.
Yeah, that geographic location completely kills that romantic notion of the artist in a beret painting out in a field somewhere. Working with fluids at this level, I mean, the external variables are everything.
Oh, sure. The ambient temperature of Southern California, the specific relative humidity inside that room, even the millimeter precise leveling of the work table.
Yeah.
All of that fundamentally alters the chemical behavior and the viscosity of the acrylic polymer.
The studio is strictly a laboratory where variables are isolated. But hold on, I have to push back on this logically.
Go ahead.
Because if we are talking about water and pouring mediums and fluid acrylics, those things, by their very physical nature, seek expansion, right? Chaos, disorder.
They want to flow, yeah.
So how does an artist keep a puddle of liquid paint chained to such a tiny 10 by 8 inch surface? Like, you can have the most perfectly leveled table in California, but liquid is liquid. Why doesn't it just wildly overflow the edges and ruin the whole thing?
That is the big question, and the answer is the physical friction of this piece. It lies entirely in the substrate he chose. The mechanical game changer here is that he painted this on a rigid wood panel. He completely abandoned the traditional stretched canvas.
Oh, like the typical painter's canvas we see in museums. Exactly. When people do a standard fluid paint pour, they almost universally use cotton canvas stretched over a wooden frame. But canvas, no matter how tightly you stretch it, always retains a microscopic amount of elasticity.
It's basically fabric.
Right. It is flexible fabric. So when you dump the heavy, sudden weight of water and dense acrylic polymers onto it all at once, the center of the fabric imperceptibly sags under the load.
Huh. So it creates like a microscopic pool, a basin.
Yes, it creates an invisible artificial basin of gravity, and that tiny slope literally forces the liquids to rush inward toward the deepest point, slide together, and just violently crash upon impact.
Which accelerates the chaos.
Exactly. But a thick, rigid wood board is implacable.
Yeah.
It does not yield under the weight of the fluid. It maintains a completely flat, unbending surface tension, which totally removes that artificial gravity basin from the equation.
Wow. So the paint has no downhill slope to ride. It is forced to fight against its own sticky viscosity and just the pure physical friction of the wood grain itself.
Yeah, the wood acts as a massive physical brake on the whole operation.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because if you take a standard viral paint pour on a sagging canvas, the visual is basically an instantaneous violent volcanic eruption.
Right, just boom.
Yeah, the magma crashes, blends, and destroys everything in its path instantly. But because of this physical break from the rigid wood panel, the creation of Betania isn't a volcano at all. It is like the agonizingly slow carving of a geological canyon.
What's fascinating here is how accurately that geological analogy actually maps on to the fluid dynamics happening inside the paint layer.
Really?
Yeah, because the lateral momentum, the sideways sliding, has been physically restricted to a crawl by the wood. The energy has to go somewhere. So it shifts vertical. We start seeing a phenomenon called Rayleigh-Taylor instability.
Rayleigh-Taylor instability. That sounds intense. What is actually happening at a microscopic level when that kicks in?
It happens when a fluid of a heavier density rests on top of a fluid of a lighter density. Because the overall movement across the board has been slammed to a halt, the heavier pigments in the acrylic mixture begin to sink downward, very, very slowly, fighting through the viscosity of the fluid below them. And as they sink, they displace the lighter pigments, creating an upward vacuum that pulls the lighter colors slowly to the surface.
Oh, wow. So they are essentially stretching past each other in extreme slow motion.
Exactly. They slide past each other without aggressive liquid collisions. There is no violent repelling force blowing the paint apart, which is what normally happens when people add chemical agents like silicone oil.
Right, just to force it to look cool.
Yeah. But in Betania, it is a natural, heavily controlled permeability dictated entirely by gravity and density.
And you can actively see the result of that slow, agonizing permeability on the surface of the finished piece. When you look at the visual image of the painting, it creates these suspended cellular
E
patterns.
cells, yeah.
But the surface is an absolute battleground. You have these highly structured, almost floral cellular zones that look totally intentionally organized.
Yeah.
And then, mere millimeters away on the exact same flat panel, those intricate structures completely surrender.
They dissolve.
Yeah, they dissolve into these amorphous, blurry, chaotic fluid zones.
That visual contrast is exactly where the core tension of the artwork lives. Reading through the artist's notes, he describes feeling this tension constantly while making it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the aesthetic beauty exists right on that thermal and chemical border. The paint is constantly hesitating. It's caught in this tug of war between maintaining a structured, recognizable cellular order or entirely collapsing back into an uncontrolled puddle of tinted water.
It is sitting on the literal boundary of order and total dissolution.
Oh.
But, you know, thinking of the mechanics of this, there is a massive time paradox happening here.
Oh,
We are
definitely.
talking about this process like it is geological. Geological sedimentation naturally takes millennia. Rivers and minerals have infinite time to slowly settle into those canyon layers. But he is using Liquitex brand acrylics.
Which changes everything because Liquitex, like most modern acrylics, is chemically formulated by its manufacturer to dry and interlock at a molecular level incredibly fast.
Right.
Depending on the thickness, it cures in a matter of hours, maybe a couple of days at the absolute most.
So time is actively working against him. He is forcing a fast-drying, highly modern chemical polymer to simulate the behavior of ancient geological time within this incredibly compressed window. The sheer friction of trying to slow down a chemical that is designed to dry quickly is incredible.
It really is. But controlling those physical variables, the rigid wood, the chemical drying time, the Rayleigh-Taylor fluid dynamics, that's really only step one of the equation.
What's step two?
Step two involves a much more deliberate psychological manipulation. Having tamed the physics of the paint, he turns his attention to manipulating the viewer's cognitive perception.
By stripping away the one thing everyone expects from fluid art, right? The color.
Exactly. The most disorienting aspect of Betania isn't the suspended fluid dynamics, it is the almost total lack of color. he completely abandoned highly saturated, vibrant pigments.
Which is a massive structural risk. I mean, if a technique is historically famous on the internet for providing a quick, easy visual thrill through neon brights, and you remove them,
you're throwing away your primary tool of attraction.
Exactly. Instead of electric blues and pinks, he utilizes this muted, almost entirely monochromatic palette. Looking at the image, the surface resembles tectonic plates of graphite, anthracite, and these really heavy, muted ash grays.
And this specific palette choice is deeply rooted in how human cognitive biology works. When our eyes process highly saturated colors like neon pinks or fluorescent yellows, it instantly triggers what is known as the chrominance channel in our visual cortex.
The chrominance channel?
Yeah.
That is tied to our animal instinct, right? Our evolutionary biology.
Yes. It delivers an immediate, superficial, emotional reward. It is a visual shortcut, like our ancestors spotting bright red berries in a green forest. We don't even have to think about it. Our brain just hands us the dopamine.
It requires zero cognitive effort. The impact is felt from second one without any active participation from you.
But by aggressively removing those bright, rewarding colors, the artist intentionally shuts down that easy cognitive reward system. He forces your brain to rely entirely on its other, much more demanding visual pathway.
The luminance channel.
Yes, the luminance channel.
The luminance is how our eyes process fine contrast.
Right.
The depth of overlapping glazes, subtle textures, and the sharp structural edges of objects in low light.
Precisely. When you can't rely on a bright, flashing neon orange to tell you exactly where to look, your eye has to physically work harder. The luminance channel requires effort. You are forced to slowly walk your vision across every tiny fissure, every subtle gradient, and every structural edge buried inside that dark acrylic.
But the color isn't 100% gone, which is what makes the cognitive manipulation so compelling. Because if you look incredibly closely at the image of Betania, there are these microscopic traces of warm tones.
Just barely there.
Yeah, pale pinks and rich ochres, hiding right at the very edges of those gray cellular structures. Think of it like this for everyone listening. Imagine you are walking through a highly modern, brutally gray city. Asphalt and concrete everywhere. The gray completely dominates your field of vision.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
But as you walk, if you look down deeply into the cracks in the pavement, you can see the ancient, warm red brick of a Roman ruin that the modern city was built on top of.
That is a great analogy, and the evolutionary biology happening in our visual cortex maps perfectly onto that. The Roman brick isn't lighting up the street, it isn't defining the modern architecture, it is subtle. But because it is buried underneath, barely peeking through the gray cracks, it irresistibly draws your eye downward.
Right.
By making the luminance channel do all the heavy lifting to find those edges, the artist forces you to actively investigate what lies beneath the surface.
It pulls you in.
Yeah.
You have to hunt for it, which means you have to stop scrolling. Stand still and look closer.
Yes. Denying the viewer the emotional crutch of a quick chromatic impact is exactly what gives this piece its psychological depth. You cannot consume this painting passively. The artist demands your active participation in the observation.
Which brings us to the deeper philosophical goal of the painting, and really the true meaning of its title. Because anyone hearing the name Betania might assume it is a place on a map.
Just like Whittier was a geographical location.
Exactly.
But the artist's analytical notes firmly reject that assumption. Betania is not a geography. It's not a literal landscape he is trying to depict with gray paint. According to his writings, the title refers directly to the concept of recogimiento.
Recogimiento.
Mm.
That is a heavy, conceptually dense word. It roughly translates to a space of profound introspection, a deep inner withdrawal, and intense meditation. It is a state of being that entirely rejects stridency, noise, and chaos.
And the fascinating paradox at the heart of this deep dive is how those two opposing forces interact. The entire physical technique of pouring, which mechanically means to spill, to flow, to move relentlessly forward, it is being utilized to demand the strictest, most absolute quietude and stillness from the person looking at it.
A physical technique defined by kinetic chaos literally forces the viewer to stand completely still. And for you listening, think about how difficult that state of recogimiento is to achieve today.
Oh, it is nearly impossible.
We live in a society that is entirely structured around noise, immediacy, and superficial cognitive shocks. our phones, our news feeds, our entertainment. I mean, everything is designed to grab your prominence channel for 2 seconds before you swipe to the next bright, loud thing.
Yeah.
It is incredibly rare and difficult to find an environment that demands your structured, deliberate observation.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the artist is highly aware of this cultural exhaustion. In his notes, Duke is remarkably self-critical of the medium. He views the creation of Batania as his definitive transition away from that fast food visual culture.
He's done with it.
Completely. He isn't interested in perfecting a mechanical fluid trick just to get views or rapid engagement on the internet. His goal is to elevate the medium. He uses these physical variables, you know, the density of the polymer, the friction against the wood, the muted luminance. He uses them as precise vocabulary words in a new, mature, emotional language.
Wow. So he is transforming raw, unpredictable fluid chemistry into a dense, reflective statement. Demanding that the viewer slow down and engage their luminance channel isn't just an artistic choice. It really is an act of rebellion against how we consume media and information today.
It marks a deliberate shift from an aesthetically lucky, chaotic accident to a deeply intentional language. By mastering the physical environment, he forces the chaos to speak quietly.
So what does this all mean? We started this deep dive with a bucket of messy, chaotic water and the fast-paced world of internet viral trends. But we've seen how, by strictly controlling the physical Kamenzian, you know, swapping out the sagging elastic canvas for an implacable rigid wood panel, and allowing Rayleigh-Taylor instability to slowly organize the dense pigments without violent chemical collisions, the artist slammed the physical brakes on the chaos.
Yeah, and following that physical control, he doubled down by placing a massive cognitive demand on the viewer. By stripping away the instant gratification of neon colors, he forced our brains to abandon the chrominance channel and rely on the demanding work of luminance.
We had to physically slow down our observation to hunt for those warm Roman ruins hiding in the gray asphalt cracks.
Exactly. He completely tamed an inherently chaotic fluid process, turning it into a deliberately structured, mature, emotional statement about Recogimiento. A demand for profound introspection.
Which leaves us with a final thought for you to carry with you today.
A question regarding how we perceive the world around us.
Yeah. If a millimeter-thin puddle of gray acrylic sitting on a small 10-by-8-inch piece of wood in a California workshop can hide such an intense microscopic battle between chaos and structure.
A complex structural battle that requires profound stillness and patience to even notice.
Right. What else in your daily life are you misinterpreting?
It is incredibly easy in a fast-paced culture to assume that quiet means empty. How many slow, silent dynamics in your own environment or even in the people around you do you mistakenly write off as stagnant or boring simply because they aren't exploding with bright colors and loud noise? Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Batania. As you go about the rest of your week, try to look past the instant flashy splashes vying for your attention and maybe apply a bit of luminance to your day. You never know what brilliant, complex structures are quietly waiting for you to notice them, hiding just beneath the surface of the chaos.